of increased population and demand of transport and the effects of global warming, increased transit use in Woodstock will enhance a business, increase the number of local businesses and access to our jobs in our community and bordering areas. It is crucial that streetcars connect as many business districts and as many neighborhoods as possible. Please include the core Southeast Woodstock within the business district as well as housing strip, and not only as far off as 92nd and Foster. Let's encourage students, families, elderly, and youth growing up with families to utilize their convenient, frequent, safe transportation right there in their neighborhood using sustainable forms of transport, encouraging more local business in downtown Woodstock, one of the Portland's oldest neighborhoods. Urban renewal areas such as Foster and Powell and Lentz, as well as Sunset Magazine locations like Hawthorne and Belmont, are key, but please do not let the diverse Woodstock area become an odd duck in this milestone. Additionally, I strongly encourage evaluating after-hours transit to allow those drinking and providing money to nightclubs, for those that are attending nightclubs and bars, by having access to transit to keep people off the streets, making the streets safer. I would love it if I could go DJ at a nightclub and walk out, jump on a streetcar, and come home in my neighborhood. Do this and I will sell my car, put it that way. I won't need one anymore. Connect my neighborhood and others to Alberta, Hawthorne, Mississippi, and I'll have no need to drive. This is the type of forward thinking I expect and I respect in the Portland region. Thank you.
Thank you. Well said. Sir?
Nick Christensen, 9853 Southeast Ellis. Mayor, Commissioners, I'm here to emphasize the importance of spreading the benefits of the streetcar system with the entire city and to ask that you implement the changes necessary to prioritize the Foster Road corridor. Before I ask, though, for those changes, let me remind you why it's vital to improve the zoning situation along Foster Road in order to increase its viability as a streetcar corridor. The Portland model doesn't allow for strip malls, instead favoring the neighborhood center. The 20-minute community is the focal point for each neighborhood. But getting people to those centers and keeping businesses viable and healthy is problematic, particularly in the outer neighborhoods of the city. In places like Belmont and Woodstock in Alberta, they're viable as they stand as walkable neighborhoods. They have the grocery store. They have the restaurants. Commuters don't need their cars to go to the store, to go shopping, or to go out to eat. They don't need to drive to work because they're closer into the city. Bicycles, buses, and Macs make a car-free living a real option. In those cases, a streetcar can do little to improve what is an already ideal situation. But mentally, take a trip on the Belmont-Hawthorne-Foster study corridor out to Lentz. With every neighborhood center you pass through, you find less and less viability for local businesses because of less and less access for the increasingly vehicle-tied consumer. At Belmont or Sunnyside, Zupan's or Fred Meyer are a short walk away. Shops and restaurants in South Tabor make for a bike-friendly area. But the gap in walkability and business vitality between Arleta and Hawthorne is just as gaping as the difference between Arleta and Lentz. The plan as it stands right now does not allow for more access, more options, and in the end, more sustainable neighborhood businesses in diverse sections of the city. Despite scoring tremendously in the city study of ridership potential, the Foster half of the Belmont-Hawthorne-Foster corridor was dumped from the first tier of priority corridors. That raises the question of equity. We know that streetcar attracts new businesses and permanent investment that is tangible as the streetcar tracks themselves. So why would the city focus its development of the streetcar system in neighborhoods that are already flourishing? If people are already walking to the store and biking to work from Hawthorne or Hollywood, why add a streetcar that in many ways is simply a redundant boost to an already strong economy? The Foster Corridor has the potential to connect consumers and residents to businesses in six neighborhood centers, and provide a serious boost to Lentz, one of the most amenity-starved of Metro's designated town centers and an area targeted for higher density growth. Without your help in reevaluating the zoning along Foster and in the Lentz Town Center, that won't happen. Businesses will take their risks to areas with higher likelihood of reward, and outer neighborhoods will continue to ask about equity and the dedication of the city's redevelopment efforts. Here at the beginning of the beginning, as you put it, Mayor Adams, please take a look at the conditions that cause city planners to eliminate the Foster corridor from consideration. Then do what you can administratively to resolve those issues. There are few corridors in the city that make more sense for a streetcar than Foster Road. A nudge from the council could start the current that finally brings the success of Inner Portland to Outer Southeast. Thank you.
Well said, and consider my comments a shove. They're just for you. Who do we got next?
Our last three who signed up are John A. Charles, Chris Smith, and Brad Perkins.
Welcome back to City Council. I think you're all three veterans. We're glad you're here. Mr. Charles, would you like to begin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is John Charles, president of Cascade Policy Institute, a policy research center based in the Raleigh Hills neighborhood of Portland. I was glad to hear you mention earlier the phrases alternative analysis and undertaking due diligence moving forward. And my remarks today are designed to help give you some alternatives and to point out what I consider some fatal flaws in the conceptual draft and give you something to look forward in the next analysis. I'm going to take on three common assertions here. First assertion is that expansion of the streetcar will result in improved travel, transit mode split compared to other options. Well, transit planners in the city always say that. And it's easy to make those predictions of the future, and you can't rebut them because the future hasn't arrived. I think you should go back in time and ask, well, what happened to previous predictions? In the early 1990s, when I was representing the Environmental Council, I was on the Citizens Advisory Committee to the Central City Transportation Management Plan. I remember us being talked into a mode split goal of 60% for the downtown. Sounded great. People in the city council, it was easy for them to adopt it. They weren't going to be around, most of them, in 2010 when it was time to answer what happened. Well, look what has happened. We don't have anywhere near the mode split. Transit mode split in downtown has actually declined in the last 10 years, despite more than $1.5 billion of rail transit. And the streetcar has been completely irrelevant to that, getting 1%. Citywide, same thing. Over the last 10 years, mode split has stagnated despite huge investments, not investments, expenditures in rail transit. So now you're being told with another $750 million on this plan, we could go forward and conquer. I just think you need to stop looking at rosy predictions of the future and go back and see what has happened from previous predictions. Second assertion is that streetcar users will pay going forward 29% of operating costs for the East Side Loop. Okay, well, the entire history of the streetcar for the last 8 years, they've never gotten more than 3% fare box recovery. They're currently at a record low 2.2%. So how are you leaping to 29% on the East Side? I think you need to have a conversation with people advising you about that. The third assertion is that this is actually not about transit. This is about affordable housing and creating, being a catalyst for development. This is not going to help affordable housing. This is going to hurt affordable housing because the types of projects you're looking at are extremely expensive to build. They're more than 100% more costly than lower density projects. And you can't escape that because they're just different beasts. In my final 20 seconds, I'll just say, moving forward, there is a better way. I've done some research into a very impressive project down in L.A., called the MTA Rapid Bus. It's not BRT, which is quite expensive. This is, I've given the summary stats for you there. It's relatively inexpensive. And so I'll just say, look, the Portland streetcar is 73 times more expensive to build per mile than this rapid bus option. But is it 73 times better? No, it's not even as good on a single metric. So I'd like to suggest that moving forward, you look at some low-cost, rubber-tired, road-based projects that could be implemented on a real budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Perkins.
Mayor, commissioners, thank you for allowing us to be here. I'd like to start by saying that Patrick Sweeney has done a fine job on this, and he should be congratulated. I support the plan. I also appreciate the fact that Paul Smith is now guiding our efforts on the Sullivan's Gulch bikeway, and that when we talk about transit, we ought to be talking about all modes of transportation and where these interconnect are the most important parts to the whole equation citywide. The other method of transportation, high-speed rail, ought to be included in this. When we talk about convergences and multimodal uses that we can transfer from one source to another, we ought to really be conscious of providing bike racks. Where these interconnect are, a good example is where the streetcar will go over the bikeway in the Sullivan's Gulch. That's a great location for great interconnection plus multi-level development, mixed-use development, affordable housing. And how we mix affordable housing to these networks are very important too. I think it's a great opportunity. Next, I want to just reinforce the need for proper financing of not just the streetcar system, but all forms of transportation. Right now, the bikeways corridors are not funded by the state ODOT system. So we really need to look at that. The congressional delegation also need to put higher emphasis on federal dollars for a more fair split between car type transportation and multimodal transportation systems. And lastly, I would like to just comment as a commercial realtor. By the way, I'm part of the streetcar loop committee as well as the Sullivan's Goals Committee. But as a professional real estate person, I just want to add one thing in regards to the comments about Broadway or inner city flourishing corridors. They are not. It's very difficult to combine pieces of real estate to make appropriate size development opportunities and include parking as well. I just had a conversation with one of the high-powered owners in the corridor, Widener and Broadway, and he talked to me like, gee, the streetcar should already exist in order to help out development. And what really would help out is a reduction level of parking. Once you do that, and streetcar will help do that, then you eliminate a great cost and help reduce the amount of costs that developers have to spend in order to develop property. And once we have these systems that cross-network with each other, we will have a great city that then can, I'm sorry if I've taken a little bit more time here, but we have a great city that then can really, truly be a green, sustainable city. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, members of council, I'm appearing, I think, for the last time in my capacity as chair of the Streetcar Citizen Advisory Committee. I've asked the mayor to find someone I can pass the baton to there so I can focus on my planning commission duties. So let me discharge that responsibility first. You have a letter in your packet that was forwarded from the planning commission from the CAC. I think that letter speaks for itself, but if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer those. What I'd like to do with my time is put this plan in context, address what I think is a misapprehension about the two different sets of corridors in the plan, and then talk about how we go forward. This is a system plan. It is a vision for how all the pieces of streetcar around the city can fit together, and I put the emphasis on fit together because we wanted to have a rational plan. It does not, I think, try to describe every single streetcar street we may have in the city. That's not its role. It's a bigger picture kind of plan. In looking at that, we broke the plan into two types of corridors. I've heard a lot of people describe those as Tier 1 and Tier 2. The System Advisory Committee specifically rejected those labels because what they are an indication of the readiness of those corridors for streetcar. The concept corridors are places where we could build streetcar today, and in our view and the technical staff's view, it would be successful. The comprehensive plan corridors are places where if we built it today, it would not work. You know, if we laid rails on Foster today, the zoning would not support enough ridership, and in turn, that would mean we wouldn't get the kind of retail and other mixed-use development that we want. We have other work we have to do. Specifically, we need zoning, we need funding strategies, we need economic development strategies. When those are in place, those can be viable corridors, and I would suggest that our next step is to do that work to make those viable corridors, because it was not the intent of the System Advisory Committee that distinction between concept corridors and comp plan corridors should represent priority. It's not. I agree with the view that I think the mayor has stated that the most transformative places for streetcar in the city of Portland may be those outer locations, that those are places where we have the opportunity to create 20-minute neighborhoods where today all we have are neighborhoods where you really have to have an automobile in order to successfully live in those neighborhoods. The impact of streetcar could truly be transformative in those places, and I think we should work on making those a priority. And in talking about how we go forward, I have great sympathy for Mark White's points about Powell Hills Gilbert, and it's not the intention of this plan to ignore the idea of a Lentz Powell Hills Gilbert loop. And in fact, if we were to start at the outside and build in, I think we probably would not choose to simply have, you know, a linear corridor on a portion of 122nd and Foster. We would probably want to build a local service loop. And then later that would connect with the network that would include those network corridors that have been identified on Foster and 122nd. The place to answer Mark's question, if I could have just a few more seconds, Mr. Mayor.
Please finish.
The place to answer Mark's question is in an alternatives analysis. So, I share his goal. I reach a different conclusion than he does about how to move forward. The answer to moving forward is not to reject the plan, but to accept the plan and move forward to an alternatives analysis that can look at the kind of local detail that he is interested in and a passionate advocate for. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you all for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Commissioner Leonard has to...
I do. I unfortunately scheduled a commitment out of the building that will leave me gone for 1 hour. If for any reason the council's still discussing this at 5 o'clock, which you have the capacity to do, I've learned, I will be back then. But otherwise, I know I have it in good hands.
Is that your request?
No. I just know the inclinations here.
You want to say whether you're supportive or not?
No.
All right. Are there issues that the council would like to discuss with staff or myself as the sponsor? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Well, I really want to, first of all, thank everybody who testified today. I think your testimony is very on point, and I can tell that you're a very well-studied group, and not even, but Mr. Charles, your points are typically in the minority in this body here, but nevertheless, they are very accurate they are very sharp, and I am looking at your statistics and scratching my head a little bit, I have to confess. But I think the streetcar is, there's a lot of enthusiasm behind it. The equity issue, I think, is something that needs to be addressed. But nevertheless, I do think that the plan before us is a good place to launch the next phases of our streetcar system, notwithstanding the equity issues, which I think will have to be addressed as we become more successful. So I'm pleased to support this. Thank the Mayor, Bureau of Transportation, and the Citizens Advisory Committee for all your good work. Aye.
Fritz.
I, too, am pleased to accept the report and commend the citizens and staff who've worked so diligently on it. I was campaigning last year, and pretty much everywhere I would go, Patrick Sweeney was there giving a presentation on the streetcar. And commendably, always
my porch.
A very similar presentation, obviously tailored to the particular place that he was at, but it wasn't like he was telling one group one thing and one thing another. It was an excellent public process, and I greatly respect that. I also appreciate Mayor Adams' intent to form a task force to look at the issues that he outlined and the makeup of that. I'd like to add that we should invite some of our diverse civic leadership partners as well as the 7 coalitions. And recognizing that we've already made the decision to extend the streetcar. That decision was made in the transportation system plan. It's part of the comprehensive plan. Unless we want to amend the comprehensive plan, that is official city policy. So this is a particularly helpful document to look at how to plan to do that. It's an existing conditions report and also looking at some of the peeking into the future and suggesting how to do it. And so it's a very helpful document. We also need to figure out how to provide sidewalks. We need to figure out how to provide paved streets in some of the outer neighborhoods, that we're not going to get 20-minute neighborhoods, even with streetcar, if people can't walk from their neighborhood from their home to get to the streetcar. When we're looking at how to expedite the outer east loop, we need to look at how to provide sidewalks on Halsey in order for people to be able to walk to get to the north-south arterials. And I know that Mayor Adams has that concern, that he knows that we need to provide basic services too, and that his Safe, Sound, and Greens initiative is merely on hold, and that there will be attention to providing those basic services in every neighborhood. I appreciated Carlotta Collette's mentioning of the streetcar as transportation. I came to understand in my time on the Planning Commission that it's been very much used as an economic development tool, and that's how we should be looking at it in the outer neighborhoods as well as in the inner neighborhoods. And as she mentioned, the loop, the link to Lake Oswego is using it in a new way as transportation, and we need to see if that can work. We need to look at and challenge the assumptions, as John Charles said, as far as the cost benefit in every proposed extension. And that's part of what I see my role as accepting this report and also knowing that we're going to do diligent work with staff and citizens throughout the process to figure out which ones should be built and which ones don't make sense. Looking forward to seeing how this ties into the Portland Plan, the East Portland Action Plan, some of the other processes which are also concurrently underway. So thank you to Patrick Sweeney and to Mayor Adams and his staff, particularly Shoshana Oppenheim and Catherine Charlo, to PBOT Director Sue Keel and the Manager of Transportation Planning, Paul Smith, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff, the Planning Commission, their very thoughtful comments and their suggested amendment, which we just incorporated, which is very much appreciated, and I like it when the Planning Commission makes things even better than the staff has presented to them. We had over 100 district working group volunteers who helped evaluate the corridors. Richard Ross volunteered on my campaign last year, and he was one of the chairs of one of the committees. And so I know firsthand how very many hours neighborhood volunteers have put into this work. And there were many different ways that citizens could comment. You could go to meetings, or Patrick went to the meetings that people were already having. You could comment online. You could send in emails and letters and phone calls. And citizens have done that. And this is a planning process where the citizens of Portland are coming together, and that's how we do things in Portland. I want to mention particularly Cora Potter, who couldn't be here this afternoon, but from the Lentz area, who's given some excellent advice on various topics and who I'm sure will be glad to hear about this task force forming. So, again, commending Mayor Adams for the process and for the product. Aye.
Fish.
Well, the problem with following Amanda sometimes is that she sort of captures everything that a number of us were planning to say, so I'm probably tempted just to associate myself with her remarks, but since Commissioner Leonard expects us to still be in session an hour and 5 minutes, I feel like I need to expand a little bit or pick a fight or something. But first, I just want to say to Chris Smith, I was not present at a prior council meeting where your nomination to the Planning Commission was voted on. I want to correct the record on that. I was detained somewhere else, but had I been here, I would have enthusiastically supported your nomination. And thank you for taking on that task. Actually, it was mentioned that it was nice to have John Charles here. I've never seen Chris and John side by side. I thought that was a battle of the two heavyweights on this issue. But we have security here just in case. This is a concept plan, and I had a chance to talk to some of the mayor's staff before, and it is not our task to either concur with everything in here or to quarrel with any particular thing. And there are certainly some points in the concept plan that I have some reservations about, concerns, questions, but I see it as a broad roadmap for future discussion. And in that spirit, I'm prepared today to accept it. There was a reference by one of our speakers today to Sullivan's Gulch. And that is something the mayor and I will be working on, which has just enormous opportunities for bike and pedestrian travel, and it could be someday connected to Gateway Green and then down to North Portland Greenway and other trails. And an exciting possibility for me as the housing commissioner is that there's opportunities to do housing along that Sullivan's Gulch in ways that are very innovative and cutting edge. And likewise, as the housing commissioner, I'm very interested in the opportunities for leveraging housing along streetcar. And while I agree with Commissioner Fritz that this is a transportation mode, the economic development and leveraging component of streetcar has just been phenomenal. Look no further than the River District. And if we can generate that kind of leverage in other parts of the city to bring mixed-use development, particularly affordable housing to a range of Portland citizens, I think that's tremendous. So that's where I have a particular interest in shadowing this as the new commissioner in charge of the Portland Housing Bureau, not the Bureau of Housing and Community Development. Mayor, great work. I've also been circulating a petition to block your reassignment of Shoshana to the Portland Bureau of Transportation. We don't want to lose her here. We're resigned to losing her, but we would prefer not to lose her in this building because she has been just a fabulous person to work with. Thanks to your bureau and all the people, the citizens who came out today, I will tell you, as someone who just completed his first year anniversary here, this was a very important discussion, and particularly those aspects about equity that were mentioned. And this council has, in my year of service, made an enormous commitment to East Portland in a variety of different ways. And in almost every bureau, I can point to places where we have said we've heard and we're going to bring a fair distribution of public resources east of 39th. And I could give you the laundry list, but Mark, you know about many of the things around parks and also light rail and elsewhere. So it's a continuing process, and I think it's important to be reminded that the fruits of this effort need to be distributed fairly and equitably throughout our community. And so I thank people for that testimony. I'm pleased to vote aye, Mayor.
Adams.
Well, I too want to acknowledge Patrick for your tireless efforts and your willingness based on the original timeline, sort of mid-project, making the decision based on feedback from neighborhoods that we needed to spend more time, and basically the discussion phase, the public outreach phase of this project, one own as well for being part of that. Paul, for your leadership of the division. Shoshana, thank you for all your great work. It's our planning for the process and for hiring Patrick, I think, was 6 months before that. So really appreciate your work. Enjoy working with you and look forward to your work out of PBOT. What we've done today is set some expectations for further evaluation. And we've really, in addition to that, what we really are doing is narrowing from around 4,000 miles of streets and roads within the city, citywide, to about 75 miles of corridors for further study for streetcar, from 4,000 to about 75 miles. And I like the, Owen, I think you talked about this being a living document. We're going to learn more. Some corridors might pop up that we don't yet know about, and some might move off the table after further evaluation. But we have more focus. We have a focus, at least, to start the further evaluation. I look forward to doing that and making sure that we get all the benefits. Streetcars are a lot about the trips not taken. It's about building complete neighborhoods that where you don't have to take a trip. Sometimes you don't even have to take a trip on the streetcar to benefit from the streetcar in terms of the additional amenities that will come with it, the ability to make complete neighborhoods, because instead of an average of 3 blocks around a grocery store with streetcar, you can extend it to, 10 blocks or 14 blocks on either side. So the statistics, are different for streetcar. It's a different animal. And it's one that here we've spent about $125 million before the east side loop. And we've gotten back, according to an outside economist, about $3 billion in private sector fundraising, private sector investment, I should say. So again, thank you, everyone, for testifying today. Aye. We stand recessed.
Thank you.
Thanks for your help. Thanks for your comments.